United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and this is Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I'm sitting in the studio with some friends of mine. And, you know, I'm going to have them come. We're going to have to come back and do some conversations, just talk.
Yes.
And just talk and set aside, you know, at least a day, a quarter, a day, a month or something.
You know, they're prettier than me. I walked in here today. I thought, holy smokes, all these beautiful ladies today.
Mark, you're nice looking.
I like this.
Mark, you're nice looking. You're just not pretty.
Uh-oh.
We don't want you to be pretty. No.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And you're in studio with Tracy and Mark today. Today is the first Thursday of the month. You know, it's know-it-all. Mark knows it all Thursday. You know I named it today.
What?
Mark knows it all.
That's right.
Mark knows it all Thursday.
Mark knows it all Thursday.
And Mark knows that. And in studio, I have some friends of mine, Sister Joyce Jones and your elder Mrs.
Minister.
Minister Jackie Hayes. I wasn't sure because every church got their own labels for their own girls.
Right, right. Well, labels don't impress me.
You know, they call me Tracy.
I'm
but,
just
you know,
doing what the call of God is.
That's
on
all
my
we do.
Life.
That's all we do. That's what it's all about.
How are you guys doing out in today's world? You know, I was looking. I watched the MTV thing on the news.
Oh
after
my gosh!
How do you address young women today in this kind of a culture that we have?
Well, that's one reason we're having the women's conferences. And we also have separate women's classes at the church to teach women. A lot of in the society which we live in today, they're mostly women running their homes. You know, they're the mother, the father, you know, name it, the breadwinner. And we have classes and we have conferences and we have even Bible study where our pastor addresses a lot of the life situations today, and that's the only way we could make it, is through God.
Absolutely, and one of the things I think is really important is that we have to lead by example. Children usually emulate what they see, and the scriptures tell us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. We go through a journey, like Minister Hayes has described as far as a women's conference. We go through a journey in life. But when we have instilled those things in them, no matter where they go, they come back. I have five
Absolutely.
Children.
Oh, my goodness.
I have that experience. And, you know, we have to lead by example. I saw the MTV thing. I could not believe it because here you have people, a person in particular, who children have watched
right.
all these years. And then to see that behavior was just unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable.
It gets disturbing to me when I see what's going on in the world today, and it's not only a lack of respect for themselves as women, but for society as a whole.
Absolutely.
And it just seems to be getting worse instead of better. I think it's a little bit scary.
It's disturbing.
But,
it
you
really
know, the issue is those of us that know better accept it. See, you know, there was a time where even if my mom did not like you, I, as a child, could not disrespect you.
That's right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
My mom didn't like you at all. They were actually enemies, the two adults.
That's right.
But the children had to have respect one for another and for that adult.
That's right.
We have gotten to the place now where we allow children to disrespect adults in ways that should have never been. And if you don't have respect for your elders,
right?
You know, if you don't have respect for, if you're not taught respect, and demand that you give it, there is no way that you can have self-respect.
Absolutely.
And we've taken the moral fabric completely out of society. There is no moral compass.
But I've even noticed, Tracy, that children don't respect their parents.
That's what I mean.
They speak. I was somewhere the other day, and I heard this child speaking to their parents like, "What? You're the mom and that's the child?" And a father, a dad, he was talking about something he told his son to do. And he said his son turned around and said, "That's yours. You do it." Well, if I had done that growing up, I would have had a backhand lick and probably a few missing teeth knocked on the floor because parents aren't parents today.
What do you mean had a backhand? I wouldn't have thought about it.
No, you wouldn't have thought about it.
There was no getting to that.
No, because you thought your parents could read your mind for one thing, and they had a direct line to God.
And they would say, don't even think it.
Absolutely.
There was none.
It's coming from the media because, you know, when I was growing up, when I was watching television, television. We had Ozzie and Harriet, Father Knows Best, Daughter Reba.
Yes.
And there was, you know, Mom and Dad and kids.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, the media started giving a perceived wisdom to children who don't have wisdom.
Right.
And
exactly.
Somehow there's some sort of, I don't know, revealing truth coming from the mouths of innocence when they're children.
What we did was
we gave children rights. The music.
Exactly.
We gave children rights.
That's right.
And I don't remember having a democracy in my house growing up.
No.
I watched In the Middle last night on, I forget what station it's on. You know, it's his family. They're out in Indiana, I believe it is. And you know, you look at this, and Dad is portrayed as a buffoon. Mom is portrayed as incompetent.
Right.
And these kids are supposed to somehow wisdom getting this family through life. That's a crock. That's not how it works.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're feeding our kids that.
It's continuous.
We're allowing them to listen to any type of music. I mean, after all, spirits, and we can't go into that right now.
Travel. We'll come back. We'll do it again.
We've lost that village mindset where everybody looked after each other and all the families were connected.
Yes.
If you got in trouble with a neighbor before you could get home.
The neighbor got you.
The neighbor got you, and then you got it again when you got home.
Right.
We don't have that because we don't even know who's living in our neighborhoods anymore.
Same in the schools.
There is something called authority. Spiritual authority.
Yes.
There is a hierarchy.
Absolutely.
There is a hierarchy in divine order.
Yes.
And when you kick divine order out, you throw out the provision and the providence of God.
Absolutely.
Hey, you took prayer out of the schools. What do you got now? Guns.
You put
the Ten Commandments off the wall.
Absolutely.
Where are they going to learn? Thou shalt not kill, because they're not learning it on television.
You want to take God off of the dollar bill. And God we trust.
And out of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yesterday in Massachusetts, the Supreme Court heard a case to take the one nation under God out of the pledge.
Right.
And we are sitting back on our laurels.
How is that possible?
Because we are, I'm going to stop here. I just got done talking about the thief. The thief comes to steal,
to kill, and to destroy.
Right.
But Jesus came that we have, may have life and that more abundantly. But when you get your hope, when you get your faith, when you get your teaching, and when you get it all stolen from you, I'm more concerned about my Cadillac, my car,
Absolutely.
My money, my house,
right.
me being robbed.
Right.
But I'm not concerned about my faith and my joy and my hope being robbed from me.
Absolutely.
As long as I've got faith and hope, I can always acquire other things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take away my faith and my hope and my joy,
you
take away my joy, my strength, you take away my God, my faith,
right.
then what do I really have?
You have nothing.
And what we have done is we have stolen the hope of glory out of the continent of the United States of America.
And we're giving it away.
And until we repent and turn back, and you know, we're getting ready, I'm going to finish up with these ladies and we're going to talk about Syria, but I might as well preach here while I'm at it.
Go ahead.
Because I have yet to hear a national call for God's guidance on Syria.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to hear from anyone say, listen, America, churches, let's stop, let's pray for the administration, for Congress, and for our troops, so that we have guidance.
Right.
And until you stop and repent and turn from your wicked ways, then God will not hear and he will not heal. And America needs a healing that will only come from prayer and fasting.
That's right.
Exactly.
And the body of Christ, if you don't believe in God, that's your business. But for the body of Christ, we are going to have to lay down our sides and our issues and come together as one on and intercede on behalf of the American public.
Right.
So that we can heal the nation.
Yes.
Because this thing with Syria is bigger than just Syria.
It
has a lot to do with our economy. It has to deal with our morals. It has to deal with our families. It has to deal with our order. It has to deal with our everything.
No trust.
No nothing.
No trust.
And then understanding God makes it clear in the scriptures. In Psalms, he said, he causes wars to cease.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we have to understand that. Everything that you say, you're preaching truth, and we
it
have
is what
to
it
do
is.
That. It, it's, I believe we're all praying,
yes.
and we should do that, but as you said, there should be a national call.
Absolutely.
If we mean what we say, then we should
God
come
will
together
hear.
Absolutely.
And do that. You're absolutely
and
right.
And I can lay down my differences between my political parties and pick
absolutely.
Up my prayer and say,
yes.
let
absolutely.
Me pray one for another, because
yes.
right now, I don't think we understand
he said,
where we are.
If
oh
my
God.
People who are called by my name
absolutely.
Would humble themselves
that's
and pray
word.
And pray
and turn
and turn
my faith
from their
and
wicked
think.
Way. Yes.
Then will
I heal.
But
yeah.
outside all that, right now our arrogance is in the way
it
of our success.
Absolutely.
My eyes
yeah.
because our children are suffering. When have you ever heard of babies dying like they are? Who shoots a one-year-old child? Who maims or kills a two-year-old?
Yeah, but you know
how
what?
Do you do
but
that?
We
you know how you do it? Because when you've got doctors who are killing babies right after they're
that's
born.
That's true, yes.
And
right
them in the
before
womb.
They're born.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, where do you learn respect for life?
Exactly.
That's
so
right.
now it goes beyond
that's
the walls
right.
of the surgical suites where that's being
can
done.
Can you say
Molette? The streets.
Yes.
Okay.
How do you make people can't make that distinction?
No,
you know, people try to get through life to get you know their values are gone.
Yes.
Their lack of faith in life. Life is the most important thing.
God help
right.
us.
And you know you gotta get this right, and we're not doing it.
No,
folks.
We're not.
No, we're not.
We are not. We are
not.
Not.
And let me also say this. America has done some of the dirtiest things on
oh,
the face of the planet.
Of course we have.
But what they did in the face of their dirt. They kept their grace.
Yes.
But
yes.
when you throw out your grace
yes.
and you continue to do your dirt,
yes.
what do you think you have? You have what you call mud. Hey,
yes.
South Carolina, your mic is on.
Hey, I'm enjoying this conversation. I came in at the right time.
You needed it.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you've got, and I've seen it here, and particularly in South Carolina, but, you know, you're talking to Tracy and all the rest of the friends, the same thing is going on all over the country. There's just an era, or I just call it a spirit of ungodliness that's moving across the nation, and it seems like the churches have gotten
mm-hmm.
so complacent that not only won't they do something about it, but if you tell them that it's there, they will actually kind of tell you you're wrong. It's not. It doesn't exist. So, you know, they're looking at the world with, you know, through rose-colored stained glass windows, and you know, they're happy with their four walls and what's inside their wall, and not the world. You
but
know?
You know, it's up to us as the body of Christ to teach better, look better,
yes,
and be better.
Absolutely.
And when I look at what's going on with the women's conference, and getting us back in alignment. Getting us back, and y'all have to excuse me, but I'm still on order. I heard Bishop Tudor Bismarck preach a message on order about 4 years ago, and it is my new order. It's my new vision.
Okay. Of course.
There is an order,
mm-hmm.
and we have to get back to the order of family.
That's right.
Order of God.
Yes.
Order of family,
mm-hmm.
and order of neighbor.
Yes. Yes.
I am my brother's keeper.
Yes.
You're supposed to be.
There is an order in my family.
Yes.
Yes.
And I've got to get back to where we have family.
Yes.
Because the family was built upon the body of Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
It relates.
Right.
And we need to understand that God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, Father, Mother, family, children,
mm-hmm.
it is an order.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so out of order because right now there is no order.
Right.
And women are taking on more than they should.
Right.
When they need to be rocking the cradle.
Absolutely.
And nurturing the family.
Right.
And ministering to the husband, and he needs to be covering his wife.
Right.
And being the priest of his house.
Absolutely.
And setting the order.
Yes.
So that we can go out into the marketplace, because if you want to know what's wrong with the world, I promise you, if you look in the church, it looks the same way.
Yes, it does.
Sad.
And we need to get back to the order. And once we get back to the order and we get our women in line and we get our men in line, our children will fall in line.
You're
and then the community
right.
at large God. Will be in line, and we will get things going, and it will be done.
You're absolutely,
absolutely
right, Tracy.
Because his word is right.
Yes,
it is.
whether we like it or not.
God laid out the plan even before the foundation of the world.
And if you don't have to like the plan, but the plan is still the plan.
That's right. It's still
you don't
plan.
Have to believe the plan.
Right.
That's right.
Right. Absolutely.
That's right.
You can disagree with the plan all you want.
Absolutely.
The plan is still
it's
the
still
plan.
His plan.
His plan. His plan.
You don't
Absolutely.
Have to trust in God, believe in God, or know God, but I hate to tell y'all this, he's still God.
Keep
right.
living.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein.
And
so it's his.
And
it all belongs to him.
And if you don't believe it, too bad. Because guess
living.
What?
Keep
it's
living.
His.
You'll find
it's
out
his.
One
it's
way or the other.
Because every knee will bow.
Yes.
And every tongue
yes.
confess.
That Jesus,
that
Christ,
Jesus
is Lord.
Christ is
Absolutely.
Lord.
Absolutely.
So you don't have to believe what we believe. You just got to know what we know. Because
right.
it will come to fruition.
Yes,
I promise you
yes,
this.
It
will. Absolutely.
It is September 13th, 14th, and 15th. They're going to have a women's conference, and I'm going to let you say Bear Leroy.
She can say it better than
Bear
I can.
Leroy.
Bear Leroy.
Oh, it's the well of Bear Leroy, and that's where we're headed, Tracy, because we're looking for the glory of God.
And it is, if you want to register for the conference, you can register, you can call. The church phone number is
330-747-4445.
There are pre-registration for people that want to be engaged in the whole 3 days or some of the days, the seminars, the conferences, the banquets. The Oasis. There are a lot of things going on. There are different packages that you can actually purchase, and they would like for you to. And I promise you, if you go and you got some time off, or if you can go on some of the days, registering for the conference, going into the seminars, going into the workshops, you will not be disappointed.
Not at all. Not
It'll
and
be well
you
worth
have
your
a
investment.
Business and you want to introduce your business, and you have a product that you we're going to have vending tables, and the tables are only $25 for the 3 days.
I can sell my stuff.
You can sell your stuff, girl.
What, South Carolina?
$25 for 3 days? I might have
yes,
to get
sir.
In my car and head up there.
Well, can I put something out there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to put something out there. I was with Mark last night for them. They had business. They told me I needed to get people to sign up for my newsletter and my email. So I'm going to have people sign up for my email.
That's what we do. That's
yes.
what we do.
Yes,
that's what we
yes.
do.
Absolutely. Yes.
So we'll put a little
good.
Basket out there, and people can sign up to win the basket.
Yes,
that'll be well.
That will
we'll
be
work
good.
That out. Can we wrap off your phone? Yes, South Carolina.
I know it's a women's conference, but are men invited? Or is there...
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Men can come every evening at the open sessions.
And on Sunday.
And on Sunday. Sunday all day?
Sunday
all day.
They do private stuff on Saturday during the day. And that, I don't know.
Well, we're teaching the women about
it's
those things you just
stuff,
talked
Mark.
About.
Okay.
It's girl stuff. It's
girl
stuff, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some
you
want
to come for girl stuff?
Well,
no.
You know, everybody has their guilty pleasure. You know what my guilty pleasure
What's
is?
What's that?
Chick flicks on the Hallmark Channel.
On the Hallmark Channel. Okay, you know, we'll give you that. That's harmless.
No.
That's harmless. Yeah,
Mark,
we'll give you that.
Since Mark opened the door, let me tell you what he does.
Uh-oh.
Mark likes to go shopping with his wife.
Oh, no,
are
here
you
we
serious?
Go.
You're a hero.
And he likes to go and help everybody while they're shopping.
Aww.
And tell them what looks good on them, what doesn't look good on them, what they should wear, what color works best for
wow.
them. He does all that kind of stuff, and he holds the bag.
There's a
okay.
couple of stores that owe me commission because, you know, I like women to look good.
Yes.
And, you know, and sometimes women who dress other women, nah. It just doesn't work out.
You think
out.
They have an ulterior
like,
motive or something when they're dressing other women
I
they don't
think,
really want them to
or
look
we
good.
Tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just have a different view. I mean, so my wife goes in and she's trying on her clothes, and I go out and, you know, and I tell the ladies, come try this on, look at that, put that
yeah.
on. And, you know, the one store we go up shopping up in Cleveland with my wife sometime, and they walk me, come in, they sit me down, and they, you know, and
wow.
they want me to come in, and I, you know, I give them jewelry, you know, jackets, dresses.
Well, you need to get paid for that.
Hey,
I'm looking for the
counselor.
Gold star. There's got to be a gold star somewhere on you. Where's your gold star?
Don't,
you got to have a gold star.
Don't get him started.
My payments to see these ladies looking good.
And it works. Because he has a fabulous wife with great taste.
Oh,
I'm
wonderful.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Now, that is that he does good.
She's put up with me for 41 years.
Wonderful.
Absolutely
yeah.
wonderful.
Yes.
And I'm excited about the conference, the women's conference this year. I know you guys
it's
had
exciting.
A great time last
it's
year.
Excited.
It's wonderful.
And it's going to be a good time this year. And those of you who come out to Calvary Ministries on the 13th, 14th, and 15th, please do so. The address is 1812 Oak Hill Avenue. It's over on the south side of Youngstown. And you have Praise and Mime?
Yes, that's who she was speaking about earlier from Vallejo,
yes, Prince
California.
Praise and Mime from California.
I wonder why y'all
Are
never
they
asked
sisters?
Me.
They're sisters. They're sisters?
Yes. Yes.
And they're going, oh, my God, last
year. They were amazing.
They brought in the glory when they came, just entered the sanctuary. They are really phenomenal, spirit-filled worshipers.
Amazing.
Mark, you know what? They don't even ask me to come and sing, neither.
Well, Trace, we're going to have a women's choir.
Did you want to see my agenda?
What are you going to sing, Tracy? Have Tracy come and sing?
You want the choir to back you up?
No, you don't need to let.
Yes, I am.
No.
Listen, y'all need to let Tracy sing solo. That means so low you can't hear her.
Why did I know he was going there?
What? See, they won't let. Jeff won't give me a mic. Won't know. I don't understand.
Well, Trace, you could be a backup singer in the choir.
I'm always in the choir.
Lead. I'm always in the choir.
You and Joyce, you all get it together.
I'm back you up.
The only reason why they want me in the choir is because I sing tenor.
I never thought Trace has got great taste in music. I come here, and when I'm here on her show, you know, her bumper music is just absolutely outstanding. And I take the stuff home, and I go home, and I download it because I learn a lot about music with Trace.
Okay.
I've never heard you sing, though.
They won't let me. That's what I'm trying to say. They won't let me sing.
Well, Trace, you want to audition now?
No, we can't audition on the radio.
I'm going to audition. I'm going to take your word, but I'm ready to back you up, Trace.
You going
to
back me up?
I am.
Okay.
I am. Just let me know when.
All right. Oh, I got it. We got this working. Got backup. Gonna be singing.
It's
gonna
I got
be like,
you, girl.
It's gonna be like
I
they said.
You.
Melanie Daniels used to do Mariah Carey when Mariah couldn't hit the note. Melanie Daniels would hit it for
oh,
her.
Oh yeah,
So when you can't hit a joint, so hit.
Baby, I would look good.
Millie
Vanilli.
Yeah, you need to come out and join the choir.
Now she's got to have a sultry voice when she sings. So I'm listening to that sultry
when
voice.
When she said tenor, that's the key. I know what that is.
I know. I do a lot of choir work,
okay,
and I know.
Yeah, so you know.
The reason why they let me in the choir is because they sing tenor. Because you know what? Men never have enough. They never have men in the choir. Whatever tenors they can find, they just let you in. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. The conference for the Mount Calvary Women and Mount Calvary Pentecostal Churches, the Women's Conference, September 13th, 14th, and 15th, which is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
At the church.
Correct.
At the church.
Call what number?
330-747-4445.
And your speakers are?
Dr. Elaine Schultz-Waller, Dr. Sheila Austin, and Evangelist Sandra Riley.
Are they in order of the days they'll be there?
I believe they are. Dr. Waller starts off on Friday night.
Okay.
And then Dr. Austin is teaching in the afternoon on Saturday. And she's speaking at banquet as well. And then Evangelist Riley on Sunday.
And it starts at what time? Evening services start at what time?
7.
Actually,
7 o'clock.
Dr. Austin actually is going to be the speaker for the breakfast, too. And we're excited because all of our speakers are phenomenal speakers. If you remember, Tracy, back when PIP, Pentecost in Perspective, was under Bishop Wagner, Dr. Elaine Schultz-Waller was one of the phenomenal, fantastic speakers. I mean, she's dynamic.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I've been to many of PIP.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me one that wasn't.
Well, I'm just saying.
You used all them adjectives like there was a standout.
Okay.
And I'm trying to tell you, I've never been to PIP where the speaker in the afternoon or the evening not phenomenal. What?
Absolutely.
Tell me one.
And Dr. Waller actually goes back further than that because she was one of the speakers when we were having her senior banquet.
That's right.
We didn't have prom.
Right.
So we had the senior banquet, and she being one of our favorite speakers. Absolutely amazing. So she's been with us for a long time.
And I'm so excited that she's coming back to us this year. I just don't know what to do with myself.
Amazing.
Oh, and what time do the doors open?
The doors open at 7, actually 6:30 on Friday evening. And we begin on Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning. Of course, each service is going to begin with the fire starters in prayer because that's how we survive. You ask a question, that's how we survive on prayer. And then again on Sunday morning, the breakfast is going to be at 8 o'clock. And before that, of course, prayer starts out everything.
And service on Sunday morning is what time?
11 a.m.
11 a.m.
Yes.
Doors open again at what time? On Friday evening.
I believe it's at 6:30.
On Friday evening, for those of you planning on coming to the church,
yes.
You want to get there early.
Yes.
The church is a nice-sized church, but I will tell you this. It will not... Don't wait till the last minute.
Right.
That would be a bad thing if you want to get in and find a good seat. And don't come in causing no problems because they're going to start on time. Praise and worship is going to come in. And I'm just saying, for y'all that don't know, you want to get there a little bit earlier than 5 minutes because you're going to park a little bit farther than you want it to. And you're going to walk in the church and it's going to be almost filled. So get there early.
Yeah. And for the ladies who want to identify and just blend in with us, our theme colors are turquoise and brown or chocolate. A lot of ladies like to know what the theme colors are so they can feel really a part of it. That's what our colors are. And I am definitely
Joyce is already in the colors.
This thing all the way.
Hey, listen, guys, I'll see you on the other side of my break. God bless you. Thank you for coming
in.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for inviting us.
It took some time to track down the cause. Fire investigators looked at the possibility the rim fire was started by lightning or even an illegal marijuana grow, but now they say it was sparked by a hunter who allowed an illegal fire to escape. Fire bans have been in place in much of California because it's so tinder dry. The firefight continues, but crews are making progress, now with 80% containment.
ABC's Alex Stone. They do not see eye to eye on how to respond to serious reported use of chemical weapons or on the fate of NSA leaker Edward Snowden. But Presidents Obama and Putin met face-to-face today ahead of the G20 summit.
The huge American limousine rolls to a stop right in front of President Putin. President Obama gets out, extends a hand without a smile. They shake hands, chat for a second, a quick smile. But this is the meeting of two international leaders with so much dividing their two countries. Ann Compton, ABC News, with the president in St. Petersburg.
The Senate Intelligence Committee met privately today on a possible military strike against Syria.
I'm not ready to vote on a resolution. I have more questions than I have answers, and I hope to get them over the course of today and tomorrow.
Maryland Democrat Barbara Mikulski. First-time jobless claims dropped by 9,000 last week, while payroll processor ADP says employers added 176,000 jobs in August. Analyst Mark Zandi at Moody's says that's movement in the right direction.
The big companies are still doing relatively well, adding consistently, but the small guys are also starting to kick in and adding consistently to payrolls, which is something that wasn't going on a couple, 3 years ago. So that's a positive development.
This is ABC News.
The following is a paid commercial announcement.
The business landscape is changing, but it takes an industry leader to facilitate change. Staples is that leader. They've announced a new type of retail store. Shopping that was once only brick and mortar is now an in-store online hybrid. The world's largest office products company and second largest internet retailer has announced new omni-channel Staples stores. We spoke with Otis Pennell, Senior Vice President, U.S. Retail Chain Operations at Staples.
Our stores offer kiosks, which give customers access to even more items. While shopping in the stores, customers can visit a kiosk and select from more than 100,000 items online. They can order items and have them delivered to the office fast. In fact, 98% of the U.S. get their orders the next business day.
The omni-channel stores are outlets for small business, too, offering tech and copy and print services. Some of the new store features include a business lounge, meeting space, and workstations for mobile professionals. For more, visit staples.com. I'm Rob Dalton.
A pair of 911 dispatchers in Detroit have been suspended without pay after big delays in sending officers to help. ABC's Ken Rogolski has the story from Detroit.
In the past 4 months, there have been two separate instances where it took more than an hour to get an emergency call to officers who were available. Police Chief James Craig suspended the dispatchers without pay and says one could face criminal charges.
And certainly our inaction, if it results in critical injury and death, that's problematic. It's unacceptable.
Six calls were made to 911, but it took an hour to send police to that location. A person died while waiting. Ken Rogolski, ABC News, Detroit.
California officials say inmates have ended their nearly two-month hunger strike to protest the prison system's isolation policies. A federal judge had given authorities permission to force-feed inmates if necessary to save their lives. More than 30,000 inmates had been refusing meals. The strike began in early July. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp?
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S., and now Bosch dishwashers feature a new third rack that gives you 30% more capacity compared to Bosch two-rack models. See yours at your local Bosch retailer today.
Go on, sweetie. Jump to Dad.
I'm not sure, Daddy. The water's cool.
There are moments in life that cause us to hesitate.
Jump right here.
Okay. Here I come.
I got you. Good job.
I did it. That was fun.
But once we take action, we're really glad that we did. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Tracy and Friends here on WSON. Please don't forget to save the date, September 13th, 14th, and 15th, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Calvary Ministries. They're going to have a women's conference, the Journey to the Well of Bella Lahara. I may mess it up, but it's going to be a great night with evangelist Christina Tyson, and they want you to come over there. Mark, is it Mark? Mangy's in studio with me.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Mark.
Those were wonderful ladies. I hope that's a successful event for them.
I promise you that it will be.
That's just terrific. You know, on this day, it's just, everything's too weird. And it's nice to come talk to people who have their feet on the ground. And,
yeah,
and
it is.
And ready to move forward.
Have you heard this song before?
No, I haven't. What?
You've been so sheltered.
Listen, I'm guilty.
South Carolina, Mark's never heard this. You've never heard this song?
And what's the name of the song?
It's The World is a Ghetto.
Oh,
it's message music from the South Carolina. When was this done? South Carolina. I know you're there. No, the number is 347-945-5229. This was performed back in 1973.
Why don't I, you know, that's the kind of music that I like, and I'm just stunned that I don't know it. So the group is War that did that, right?
Right, and it's called The World is a Ghetto.
Ah, jeez, oh man.
It's legendary. I mean, this is your
song.
Time era. This is when you and Jeff were growing up. How do I know this and you don't know this?
There was a period of time when I was listening to elevator music when I was growing up. That may have been the my elevator music period.
Oh, Stereo 99.
That's what it was. You know what it was.
Stereo 99. Now, Mark, the number is 347-945-5229. Mark knows it all on Thursday.
I don't know that.
No. Yeah, you don't.
I don't know that.
But now
maybe now I know it all.
Now you know it all. You didn't know everything, but now you know it all. I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
I haven't. You've not been in the studio since we have gone through the Syria thing.
Right. Well, we were at the fair.
Well, that doesn't count.
Too much good food.
Yeah, boy.
We doing that next year?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We're doing.
For your listeners, Tracy's friends, of which I'm one, you know, rotated in and out of the studio over here, and we never. It's the first time I think I've been with everybody together, and it just was a great, great, great time. And you know, when that stuff was going on in Syria, and you know, it's nice to be with friends, and that was just terrific. So let's talk about Syria. What are we going to do with it?
What do you think is going on? Do you think that the pressure is to go over there because the weapons of mass destruction and because he used chemical weapons on his people?
I think we're going over there right now because we haven't had a foreign policy that was worth a plugged nickel over the last 5 years in the Mideast. Barack Obama came into office believing that if you went and made nice with these folks, they'd make nice back. It doesn't work out that way.
He didn't believe that.
I think he did. He's an idealist. He's an ideologue. He's, you know, uber left and progressive. You know, his view of the world is different than our view of the world. And I'll tell you something. I don't think he cares. He cares about certain things. He cares about immigration. He cares about health care. He cares about wealth redistribution. Those are the things he cares about. All this other stuff are distractions.
Let me ask this.
One other thing I'm going to say.
Okay.
I think what was really telling in all of this, and maybe I'm the only one that picked it up, but right after he gave the speech, going into, was it Saturday, the next day, he was going into the discussion as to what was going on, I heard every single commentator I listened to across the board say that his staff was surprised that he did it.
He did what?
That he made that speech.
Which speech?
Sending stuff over to Congress.
Oh.
That's not what they were expecting. That's not what was discussed. So if he wasn't discussing that with the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense, who was he discussing it with? I'm telling you who's running the country right now. It's Valerie Jarrett and Eric Holder. That's who's running the country right now. Obama, I don't know where he's at, where his head's at.
I don't know if it's Eric. Well, Eric Holder's doing domestic stuff.
Domestic stuff.
He's doing domestic policies. He's suing states after the Supreme Court struck stuff down. He's doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And then Valerie Jarrett, she's been very, very quiet. And every picture I see Susan Rice sitting in.
Yeah.
As a national security advisor. But now,
those people didn't know that he was going to do it, I want to know who did. Somebody had to tell him to do that. That didn't come from himself. Somebody's pushing him that way.
But the question is, why? Because I just think that it's because of the petrodollar. Another lady called in, Kat, and she thinks it's because of the oil and...
That's too deep. That's not why he's doing it. He's doing it because he doesn't know what else to do. He's not that bright.
Wait, no. This is not about bright. Bright people don't run organizations. Bright people hire bright people to run it for them.
And what has he done?
And my concern is, I think this is deeper than what meets the eye. I think because we are so weak in a lot of areas that they're concerned about how this would look. Because I don't know if you saw Secretary Kerry.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes, I did.
He didn't look well.
No, he didn't.
And, you know, they're trying to say, well, Tracy, you didn't listen to what he had to say. And I think the brevity of what's really going on here is more in depth than what they're really telling people, including Congress.
He brought Congress in because he can't take responsibility for anything. This guy, let's see what he's managed to do with this, okay? Let's look at what he's benefited from this. He's benefited because the NSA issues are off the table, the IRS issues are off the table, Benghazi's off the table. Everybody's talking about this instead of that. Everybody needs to pull out, wag the dog, go watch the movie. This is the oldest.
Talk about the movie.
This is the oldest foreign policy trick in the book. If you're having problems at home, you go start trouble someplace else. That's anyone that studies history. That's what they do.
But we can't, Mark. We can't go start something somewhere else because we don't have the funding to do so.
Well, he's going to do it. What do you think is going to happen when he goes over there with that stuff?
You
know what he said? I don't know if you saw. John Kerry said the Arabs are going to pay for it. The Saudis are going to give us money to go in there and do this. Really? This is what the Secretary of State's testifying to? They're nuts. We've got a problem.
They said the number is 347-945-5229. They said over in Syria, he said, if you strike us, we're going to go after Israel, Turkey, and Jordan.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what he said.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, what does he think is going to happen? He's going over there. If you look at who the Iranians are there, the Russians are there. God knows who else is there. You know, this is just bad. And you know, all the people there are bad people. There's no winner. There's no loser. They're just bad. We don't have any benefit from it. I feel sorry for those people who were gassed. I really do.
But I would not
send my son over there to fight in a war because this guy drew a red line on the sand.
He didn't draw a red line.
Well, he said he didn't do it. Sounded like it to me.
Hold on, Hold on. He didn't do that. He didn't draw a red line. You're mistaken.
All right. What did he do?
He didn't draw a red line.
He said he didn't draw a red line.
That's what he said.
I know. Do you trust him?
Yeah, I trust him. He didn't draw a red line.
No, that's the problem. Nobody trusts him.
We don't trust any politician.
No, he's getting worse. This is the problem he has. Nobody's paying any attention. He's got a small group of people that's still, you know, sitting in the amen corner for him over here. But the vast majority of Americans have either turned him off or just don't trust him.
Well, now hold on. The amen corner is still in amen in Congress because a lot of them are standing with him just because he's the president.
John McCain is an idiot. Go away. He's too old. He stayed at the fair too long. I don't like John McCain. I voted for him, but I don't like him.
You don't like John McCain?
I don't like John McCain. And what Eric and John Boehner?
Tell us how you really feel.
I think John Boehner should have told him the minute he tosses over, he should have gone in front of the microphone and said, you don't need us to do what you want to do. If you feel it's not important, go do it. But we're not going to allow the President of the United States to vote present in foreign policy, which is exactly what he's doing. He's never taken a stand on anything. Anything. Me, until he gets himself in some deep doo-doo, and it's they, and you. I couldn't believe the stuff that was coming out of his mouth over wherever he was yesterday. Was it Sweden yesterday?
No, it was in Russia.
I was in Russia now. I think it was a stop. There was a stop along the way.
So, South Carolina, your mic is on, too. The number is 347-945-5229. It is an open mic today. So you do you think we're really concerned about Syria because they gas their own people?
No.
You know, because I believe there's an ulterior. There's more to this.
There's more to what it means to something, but it's not that.
It's definitely not because they started gassing people.
No.
He's a man who got caught with his pants down on this. Now, you understand, Barack Obama digs in his heels when he doesn't get what he wants. And now he's got a problem. And this is nothing more than him trying to shove the blame onto somebody else. Now, if Congress says no, he'll say, well, you know, I guess I can't go now because Congress said no, there were a bunch of wusses, all those dead people, and they can blame it off on them. That's what Boehner went off the statute of
I'm
not going to play your game.
Honestly, the number, I said the same thing. When he went and asked Congress, it was so that he could have somebody to blame, and if it works well, he can take the glory.
Yeah.
He needed to have a win-win. So if we go over there and we lose our shirt, I'll blame Congress. And if we go over there and we win I'll look good.
Yep.
Don't you think it had
more to do with being able to blame the Republicans? Particularly the House.
Well, they're trying to blame the Republicans because, remember, the Republic, it's all Republicans' fault, and no one knows that the Democrats are in the Senate. I mean, for some reason, Congress has now become all Republican. I've never seen anything like it when you have a Democrat-controlled Senate.
Wow. I agree with Mark. I think he got caught with his pants down. Not like Slick Willie, but he got caught. He got caught in making a threat, and now he can't make good on it because it's going to cause a whole big mess. And he needs to find a way to gracefully back out, and that's the only way he can do it. Your Congress tells him no. So.
I mean, I understand there were 1,400 people that died with the gassing over there. But there's 100,000 dead people. Nobody seemed to care about the other 98,400 people.
Do you know how many people we kill every day in abortion?
Yeah.
So do you really care about life?
No.
Do we really understand that this? I think there's a lie being told. There's a fly in the buttermilk.
What do you think the lie is?
I don't know.
Lying about what? What do you think?
I don't know if the people over in Syria said that the Americans are fabricating this whole story from the beginning. We have screwed up foreign policy so bad over the years. And we have done so much, but I don't think anything about Syria has anything to do with 1,400 people being gassed.
No.
So if it's not about the 1,400 people being gassed, then tell me, what is it really about? What are they really talking about, and why are we so concerned about Syria that we have to go and put together a military strike?
You know, I'm going to disagree with you on that, Tracy. You know, the reaction from the Obama administration was so slow as to that gassing, just the typical, what do we do? And, then they realize that he has lost face with the rest of the world. Now they have to rebuild his credibility. And so they go to Congress to hide behind. I don't think it's any more complicated than that.
But
that's the issue.
But the question is why?
Well, here's the thing.
Because he said there was a red line and they crossed the red line, so now that you crossed the red line, I've got to act?
Yes. Yes.
But he said yesterday he didn't have a red line.
Well, you're dealing with some people who just are off the chart. You've got the craziest people in the United States running the show there right now. Look at John Kerry. What's wrong? Look at Chuck Hagel. What's wrong? I don't understand their thinking. I don't understand it. And I wish I could say that there was some ulterior motive. I can't figure it out. You know, unless they're trying to provoke a war with Iran, which very well this may be, and again I tell people to go watch Wag the Dog.
Tell us a little bit about this Wag the Dog.
It's a very simple process. It's a thing that
it's a movie.
It's a movie. And the administration was losing all credibility with the public, and they wanted to get reelected, so they went and started a war. And that's the oldest trick in the book. When you've got trouble at home, look overseas. Get the focus overseas.
Well,
Stalin did it. Hitler did it. Barack Obama
did it.
Everybody does it.
But this is not the war
Clinton
to start.
Did it.
I mean, do we realize that this strike in Syria could actually cause a world war?
Yes. I'm well aware of that. That's why I didn't sleep so good last night, in addition to the pot of coffee and vodka that we had last night.
So this world war.
Yes.
This all, because, I mean, Russia is on the opposite side of us.
Yeah.
China is not standing in concert with us.
Nope.
France said, go ahead, and I'll send you guys some daisies or some baguettes when you get there. Mike, not so blind, Mike, your mic is on. So what in the world are we really, I mean, there's something wrong here that we're still considering this. When and Europe says, listen, I'd go, but, you know, I got to stay here and take care of Nana. So
Europe's not going. The member of parliament got it right when he said, we're not going to go to war so Barack Obama can save face.
What is he saving face on?
His red line.
He didn't have a red line.
His reputation, Tracy. I mean,
what
it's
reputation?
Like, it's not like Bill. Well, here's the thing. With Bill Clinton, he got in trouble with Monica Lewinsky. What did he do? He went and bombed somebody. Took the focus off of the situation he had going on with that whole scandal. Barack Obama, number one, well, maybe Tracy, he's trying to cover up for Benghazi and for IRS and EPA and some of those others.
We haven't gotten to the root of anything that you said. I'm still trying to find the root of the IRS.
Here's the thing. Maybe it's getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to hit the fire, so he needs to deflect some of the attention away from what's happening domestically. That'd be a great way to do it.
And that's exactly what's happening. All the stuff that was causing him problems, unfortunately, he wasn't very smart because he picked something that's going to ultimately cause him more problems.
Come on, guys. You don't kill people
Tracy,
to save face.
Well, Tracy, look at it. As much as the Democrats hated the Iraq war, and they came out against it week after week after week after week, why are they signing on and saying, we agree with the president now? We agree with the president. We want to strike. These folks are notorious for being war. I mean, you know, they're against
Anti-war.
But now they want to go to war?
Right.
Listen, I've got to take a break. Hold on.
Been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized. That would change my calculus. That would change my equation.
Was that the non-red line?
That was the non-red line.
Okay. That's good to know. Next time I hear him talk.
I didn't know if you guys knew there was a non-red line.
Yeah. Just like Benghazi. He called it terrorism in the Rose Garden.
No, it was a movie review gone bad. Benghazi.
Yeah.
That's what it was, a movie review. The critics didn't like the movie. In the old days, we used to throw root beer barrels at the screen if we didn't like the movie. But nowadays, I guess they blow up your embassy if they don't like the movie.
What do you think about this, not-so-blind Mike? Can you see through the clouds?
I'm just very concerned that my honest feeling is the time to act was a year ago. When we first had some evidence of it, we keep coming into these things way too late and poorly thought out. We're playing reactionary rather than we're not responding to things. We're reacting to things. In aircraft, when you're a pilot, there's a terminology they use where the plane begins to fly you, and you're not flying the plane anymore. It begins to fly you, and all you're doing is reacting to it. And the FAA has done studies when you're in that mode. The average crash to the ground is 177 seconds. And I think that's what we got here. The plane is flying us. We're not flying the plane. We missed our opportunity to take control a year and a half ago. So I'm not feeling good about any of this. But it's really interesting to see the Democrats flip-flop, like Mark said. You know, now they're becoming the hawks. Well, why not? They claim they were for civil rights for 100 years.
Yeah, right.
Alex, well, we all know the truth. So I don't know what.
Hey, Tracy.
You know, I just want to say real quick that it's the administration, Obama's administration, is obviously lying just from their actions. And Russia has come out. Putin has already come out and said that, you know, Kerry is lying about the gassing. We don't really know who did it. And I think that's most logical because it makes no sense for Assad to use those weapons. I don't believe that he did. Russia doesn't believe that he did, that they did. And you can just tell from how they're talking about it. They're saying, well, this isn't regime change, but what else are you doing if you go in and bomb them? They're in the middle of a civil war. There's it's obvious that they're just lying, and that's really what they want. I mean, they would really like a regime change in Syria. But, you know, what nobody really talks about, what I think is a valid question, what should be brought up, is that if Syria is this haven of terrorism and evil, as we try to purport, then bombing Assad would actually, it might actually strengthen terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, because then if you weaken the government and infrastructure there, then isn't it greater possibility that these terrorists would get their hands on these chemical weapons then, and then, you know, use them in the way that we say, you know, in a greater sense, even against Israel and the United States and so forth. I mean, it's just, this whole thing is just, it's just nonsense. I don't know.
Tracy, can I respond to that?
Go ahead.
Two things is, one, you can't call our president a liar because that makes you a racist.
I hate to tell y'all this, guess what?
Yeah.
Putin is a real big racist today.
Yeah, exactly. And the second thing is, I agree with you 100% on that, because what everybody keeps failing to understand, whoever takes over the government not only gets to live in the big house, but also gets the toolbox the government had. And if in that toolbox is weapons of mass destruction, well, whoever takes over the government has that too. So this regime change thing is very dangerous. I agree with you on that. It's crazy.
You've got a situation where if we go in and aid the rebels, a year from now, if the rebels win, you've got an Al-Qaeda-led government.
Yep.
Okay? If you don't, let the Civil War play itself out. That's my thing. And some folks want to say isolationism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. I don't care if you use that term on me, but it's time for the United States to go into self-protect mode.
Mm-hmm.
Get the heck up out of the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
Protect our allies, and come back home and let us do what we need to do to save our nation.
Well, this thing's not going to pass the House. It just isn't going to happen. Nancy Pelosi is already laying the groundwork for it, and and he's going to say, well, you know, we're just going to do what the House wanted, and he's in the clear. When it comes to Barack Obama, the only thing that counts is Barack Obama. He doesn't give a rip about anything else. I'm hoping that the media is starting to wise up to what this guy is doing. I think some of them are. I'm not sure. And it makes me physically sick. I've lost sleep over this, and I rarely lose sleep over current events. But this one, uh-uh. This guy should be impeached for what he's doing with this right now. What a travesty.
Why should he be impeached by what he's doing right now?
Because he's, you know, it's not just committing a crime. It's this guy is using our foreign policy and putting America at risk to save his own ego. He can't even keep his story straight. He can't even keep his story. Well, I never drew a red line. I know what I heard.
Mark, hold on.
Yes, ma'am.
Mark, hold on. The number is 347-945-5229. You're missing the point.
You know my line.
We have
been
very clear to the outside regime, but also to other players on the ground that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized.
Hey, you know what I said? Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
And that's what this guy's doing. That's what he's doing.
Yes, South Carolina.
We still haven't figured out what is. Remember?
What is?
Yeah, right.
Who?
Bart knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Bill Clinton wanted the definition under oath before he answered the question, what is? What do you mean by is? Remember that? Got to go back.
Is?
She's too young. She doesn't remember the good old days 20 years ago when folks lied to us.
Yeah.
You know, don't you kind of have a hankering that, going back to those days when, you know, the worst thing we were facing was the president having a little whoopee in the Oval Office.
I want to go back to the good old days where all you saw about the president was he played golf and he had a heart attack, like Eisenhower did. You know, that was the big news. The president had a heart attack. Now he gave us all a heart attack.
I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news.
South Carolina, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my man.
Hey, Alex is there.
I called you earlier, but you must have been busy.
I didn't know you called me. Yeah, I've been having some heat pump issues here and air conditioning issues, and I've been putting in a lot of temporary stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to put in a brand new unit that I know will be gone in a year because we're switching over to geothermal, and I'm just not going to spend, you know, K's. When to just fix one building, it'd be one quarter of what I needed to put in a whole system here and go all geothermal, you know. So I'm stocking up on year end sales of 1-ton units that mount in a window, and we'll get by with that. So,
yeah. Well, you could go with that split unit from Fujitsu. Have you seen those things?
Yeah, I've seen those things. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think Barack Obama has an ego the size of Mount Everest. And I can't say that on the air.
Well, they're looking for a piece of stone big enough to give the fourth base at Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference between Obama throwing a few missiles over there and George W. Bush actually openly admitting during a press conference, you know, about Saddam Hussein. He said, well, this guy tried to kill my dad.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, exactly. I don't really, and I'm not saying this is what you're doing, but, you know, sometimes, it just wears on me the Republican lambasting of Obama and a lot of their comments about him, you know, they were completely absent when Bush, you know, kind of showed some of those same character flaws.
System is dangerous, no matter who it is.
But I mean, Alex, you look at it, you know, it's kind of hard to save face. You know, when you voted for it, but then you didn't vote for it, you know? And that's the kind of situation that the Democrats had, you know, during the Iraqi war, you know? I mean, they did not want to go to war and do the things that's necessary in war and stay as long as you need to do, stay as long as you need to stay, then they should have not voted for it. And therefore, they can claim they were not for it, you know. So
but you know, what really drives me up the wall, you know, and I've gotten in heated arguments with both Democrats and Republicans, is that but you know the thing about it is, I guess, it's just how you present the argument, because, for instance, with Obamacare, you know, Republicans today will say, well, we didn't vote for it, blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is that they would have voted for it if they were in power, because that's exactly what they did back in 1993. because the bill is the same bill that the Republicans proposed. Obamacare is the same bill that Republicans proposed back in the 90s, and then but it just didn't go anywhere. And then Mitt Romney picked it up and implemented it in Massachusetts, and then eventually Obama picked it up. And now that Obama's doing it, it's a travesty.
What bill are you talking about in 93 that they proposed? Couldn't have been. That was Hillary care.
No, it was proposed by a Republican senator. I can't remember his name. And it was spearheaded by Newt Gingrich as well. I mean, the whole mandate and all of that stuff was in the bill back in the 90s. And it was pushed by Newt Gingrich and
4794555229. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I was just saying how Republicans they complain about Obama and we were first talking about how Obama he's doing this all out of his ego, but you know, Republicans tend to forget that Bush said on live television, well, at least in the news conference, that about Saddam Hussein. Well, this guy tried to kill my daddy. So what's the real reason we were going to Iraq? Was this for vengeance? You know, for family vendetta? You know, and it's just the convenient forgetfulness of Republicans. When it comes to their critique against Democrats,
but you know, Alex, that's all politicians. That's all political folks. They got selective amnesia based upon how they feel on that day.
I think the problem isn't so. For me, the problem with what the president's doing, had he just gone and done it, that's fine. What bothers me is he's trying to hide behind Congress. Yeah, don't hide behind. He's got the authority to do what needs to be done, and he has made the decision to do it this way. And I just think that it stinks.
I have to disagree with you on that. I mean, if anything, him going to Congress is probably one of the few constitutional things he's done. The president
That's
does not
exactly
have the authority
point.
To do
why
that.
Why now? Why is he doing this now? You know, why all of a sudden he hasn't gone to Congress with anything else? He's going on him on this. Why?
He's got a point there.
If one of the few constitutional issues is things he's done right, why now? There's always an ulterior motive with this guy. Things are never as they appear with him.
Local call, your mic is on. Alabama, your mic's on. Okay.
Are we having technical issues?
No. People have me on. They call me and put me on hold. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229.
I'll never put you on hold, too, Tracy.
I think that, I'm with you, Mark. This is the first time he's ever done. I mean, he didn't have to go to Congress, but he didn't. But then when I hear that he had low-level staffers come to a meeting to brief them about stuff that they already knew and they got more information on the news, that was a little bit disconcerting for me also. And my question is, where do we go from here? Because as we said a few minutes ago, we haven't addressed IRS, we haven't addressed Benghazi, we haven't addressed the Affordable Health Care Act, where the mandates keep on sliding and slipping and moving and the targets keep on going and all that kind of stuff. And we still haven't addressed America's core issues of its economy, and they still don't have a budget in the Senate.
If I were Boehner, I know what I would do. I'd put a vote out there to the House saying, you know what, we vote for you doing anything you think is best.
Why would you do that?
Well, throw it back in his lap.
He can't play games like that. This is too serious.
He's doing it.
No. This is my life. Sticks, your mic is on.
Hey, this president is getting ready to start World War III because there's a whole side of this that nobody is talking about. Qatar is sitting on a ton of natural gas. And right now, the only supplier to Europe, Eastern and Western Europe, of natural gas is Russia. Qatar went to that GCC and tried to get them to get permission to route a pipeline to Europe, and the only one that didn't sign off was Syria. And the reason Syria didn't sign off was because Russia told them not to. The other dynamic to this that nobody's talking about is the bear wants a drink of cold water, or excuse me, of warm water. People forget the reason Russia invaded Afghanistan in the first place when they did was they needed a warm water port. Russia has no warm water ports. They have one in Syria. If this president goes playing with Syria, he's directly playing with Russia.
We're here. Your mic is on.
Yeah, I'm
trying to go to the park. A return to the Cold War, maybe?
No, I think right now, I think we just decided to become mercenaries, because Kerry said, "Well, we've got money from Arab states to pay for this," and I think it goes back to the petrodollar that Tracy talked about yesterday. That there's been a decision made that the only way we can get ourselves out of this economic mess we're in is basically to become the army for the highest bidder.
Well, I was floored when I read what Kerry said. That just stunned me. I don't get it. You got me sticks on the warm water port. I'm trying to visualize Afghanistan in my head.
That's been a goal of theirs for a long time. Like Sticks was, saying. I mean, I've heard that for years.
Ever since the Tsars. The Tsars were always trying to figure out how to get a warm water port. Every port in Russia gets froze over every winter.
Yeah, but you're looking at Afghanistan. I mean, Afghanistan doesn't have a port. It's a landlocked nation. They'd have to get it through Pakistan, or they'd have to get it through Iraq. Through Iran or Iraq. I don't remember,
that was the plan. The Iranians were friendly at the time, and Afghanistan was unfriendly. So we take over Afghanistan, and we can move all the trucks through Afghanistan into Iran.
This Arab thing with the money just threw me for a loop when I read it this morning. And you know what? I don't process well when I don't really understand what's going on. I think you make sense about the gas. That makes a lot of sense, Dix. I understand that.
That's what I'm saying. My issue is I don't think this is as black and white as they're trying to make it. They use weapons on their own people. We don't want them to use gas products on the people, and weapons of mass destruction would be bad over there. And so we'll kill 1,400 people. It's okay, but let's go see about them. So we're going to strike them and tell them, not now, don't do that. I don't see America being that red line.
Here's what I'm concerned about. There's no way you're going to go in there and do anything. Please tell me the upside to going in there. If we go in.
There is no upside.
And we knock down a few buildings and kill a few people and leave, and they're going to go use weapons of mass destruction again. They're going to use the gas again.
No, they've already said, you come here, we're going to blow this popsicle stand up.
Yeah.
And I tend to believe them when they say that.
I do, too.
Israel's sitting on the sidelines, and we haven't heard much about what Israel wants us to do.
I think our government knows what Israel wants us to do. They're probably not listening, but that's.
I don't know if Israel wants us to stand still or if they want us to move forward.
Well, I think Israel wants to get Iran's nuclear weapons. I mean, that's without saying. I don't know on what basis they'd go in there and do it, because this could give them an excuse. I don't know.
I mean, they did a test missile last week, but I don't know what. Where are we? How is this going to play out? A world war would not be good for America.
No. But you know what's interesting? You know what I really think is interesting in this conversation is, I don't know about you guys, but I'm running out of things to say about it, because it just isn't computing.
what is this man trying to do? And the other thing that bothers me in all of this, which I find kind of interesting, is the stock market's holding its own. I don't see it tumbling. You know, it's just kind of there. And usually if there was a fear factor that something bad was going to happen, you know, the market would be falling.
Hey, the number's 347. Go ahead. Who's that?
But, Mark, do you think that the stock market is so divorced from reality now that nothing matters anymore?
God, I mean, hope not, Sticks.
I mean, with the computer trades and everything that they've instituted, I mean, does anybody look at the fundamentals of companies anymore when they buy them? I mean...
Well, I guess that they do. I know I do. But when you have a world crisis coming, you know, the best place to go is gold, and I'm just not seeing a run up in gold. I'm not seeing a run up in oil prices. I mean, they're up there, but nothing, you know, getting the $150, $160 a barrel thing. So
right.
That tells me that at least the big money is kind of taking a wait and see attitude. I don't see them running scared.
Wait and see for what?
Well,
you think the fix is in?
I think the House knows. I think the traders know, and the market knows that the House isn't going to approve this.
I think they are.
I don't think so.
Let me tell you why.
Why?
But because I think you have enough Republicans and enough Democrats to make it happen.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
They might get the Senate, Tracy, but I doubt they'll get the House. I doubt it.
You know, this, I think
there was
another
talk show that I listened to this morning, and he ran an unscientific poll of close to 30,000 people, okay, and by a vote of 25-1, the people were saying do not go.
Oh, the people, American people are saying stay home.
Yeah,
that's easy.
I'm not understanding what they want to accomplish with this. They keep saying we want to go after the delivery systems, but you can deliver chemical weapons with a Cessna crop duster.
Yeah.
You know, it makes absolutely no sense to try to get rid of chemical weapons with cruise missiles. Because you can have them in somebody's garage in 55-gallon drums.
He's got a point there.
I think the reason why we're struggling with this is because the craziest person in the room is calling the shots right now. And as I've learned in my practice over the years, you can't argue logically with illogical people. And this guy's behavior is downright bizarre.
Is it bizarre?
And I don't think it's any more than that, Tracy. I honest to God don't. I don't think there's any hidden message there. I think they're going to try to, you know. Other
than
that,
can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Do you think Mitt Romney would do anything different?
You know, I was thinking the same thing a few minutes ago, Alex. No.
I would think that, you know, my undergraduate major was foreign policy. And one of the things that we learned is that when it comes to foreign policy, you can put in your missiles, you can do this, you can do that, but at the end of the day, it's how you're perceived that makes the difference. And if they perceive you as being strong and a little bit crazy, the countries are going to back off and not do anything to you. Right now, they perceive Obama to be weak. I don't know if he is, which is what's scary, because right now, there's a real good chance for a misstep, and one misstep and we're in a world war, because the perceptions aren't operating. Obama has not done a good job and establishing the perception that he is a strong foreign policy figure. He's tried. He's used drones. He's killed a lot of people. He did, you know, albeit late, come into Libya, but he blew that with Benghazi. He's perceived to be weak.
But he's not. When you look at how Putin has talked to him yesterday, that was not a good. That was not a respect that Putin had for Obama.
He doesn't have any respect for Obama. They respect strength. The Arabs respect strength. They don't respect, well, let's see, I got the authority, but I'm going to go give it to Congress, and I
well,
drew
no,
a red
if,
line,
if he,
but
now, wait,
a red
now,
line.
Now, guys, if he decided to go and didn't get permission for Congress, then we would be sitting up here barking about him not going to Congress.
But the point is that we never should have been in that position in the first place. He's had 5 years of telling these, making nice to these people, and they chewed him up and spit him out. We have no respect in this world at all anymore.
But no, hold on, no, hold on. Now, I got to play the devil's advocate. They didn't respect us when we had President Bush.
They didn't like us. They respected us, but they didn't like us.
I think Putin, in his own way, respected President Bush. I really do. For one thing, they were both warriors. I mean, I think that's something that Putin has a disdain for the president because he's never worn a uniform.
Well, come on. President Bush never really wore a uniform.
Yes, he did. He was an Air National Guard pilot.
Okay. But does that really make a difference? I mean, if you have a woman president, they're not going to respect her because she never went to war?
Putin wants to reestablish.
It depends who she's dealing with, Tracy. That's what I'm saying. You have to understand different people perceive other people in different ways. When you have a strong KGB warrior like Putin, he is going to show disdain for anyone, especially a male, that did not serve as a warrior for his country.
But you don't have to serve as a warrior, but you just have to have a backbone. And I just don't see President Obama standing up and having a backbone, because I wouldn't let Putin go over there and punk me and me say and take it like a wimp.
But you're not posting pictures of yourselves in girly pants on a bicycle in a helmet either, are you?
Who did that?
President.
What
you
do you
show
mean?
Me one picture. You show me one picture that has been published of him that is what is a traditional masculine picture in the United States of America. Show me one picture of him chopping wood or running a chainsaw or anything.
There's a picture,
like that.
Oh no! There's a picture of him with a gun
and his leg up on a desk.
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
That impressed me.
And anybody that can shoot can tell you that he had no idea that somebody had tell him which end the powder came out of.
Oh man, 440, your mic is on.
Well, I agree with the guy. What the guy just said. I'm expert with a gun. That guy, that was a photo op with him with that gun. He doesn't know anything about a gun. But what makes him look weak to Putin is that he has messed up every stinking thing that he has encountered in his presidency. Everything. Everything he touches turns to crap. But naturally, you have people like Diva and some of these other people, Obama apologists. Oh, well, what about Bush? Well, Bush is not in office, and Bush didn't do half the crap this guy has done. This guy has done nothing, absolutely nothing. He's not done anything for anybody. He's not fixed a single thing.
So why do we love him so?
Good point. Why is he impeached? Why is he still there? That's a good question. Why is he still there? We got an idiot that runs this country.
Uh-oh.
This guy is running our country. He is an idiot.
I disagree with you. He's done a lot. I'm sorry.
For who?
What'd he do?
For what?
No, listen. I mean, I think I know where Alex is going here. Yeah, he's done quite a bit.
The Democratic Party has been lobbied heavily, and the 3 years prior to his initial presidency by the healthcare industry, and he's handed all of America to the health insurance companies and the AMA, the doctors, and just the practitioners in general. So he's done a huge favor for the medical industry, and further, he's probably further driven up health care costs.
Oh my God!
It wasn't for the American public, but he did do something.
I guarantee you, no healthcare practitioners are complaining about Obamacare, or the insurance company.
Oh yeah, I disagree.
No, the doctors
Alex.
Are.
My doctor's wrong.
You're wrong.
Yeah, the doctors are complaining, but the insurance companies aren't. The insurance companies are not complaining. Go ahead, Alabama.
I'll take that back. I'll take that back. Yeah, some doctors are complaining, but the insurance companies, they've made out like bandits.
They're in love. If you saw that report yesterday, the insurance companies are making like a fat cat right now. Listen, I got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to leave the mics open so you guys can have a conversation online. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Are you about to dig into some Greek yogurt? Listen to ABC's Alex Stone before you do.
At first, executives at Chobani said the company was pulling some of its Greek yogurt off store shelves because a mold common to dairy was causing the yogurt cups to swell up and they were going bad, but that it was not a food safety issue. Now Chobani is issuing a recall, saying there have been reports of illnesses by some customers. Chobani won't say how many people have gotten sick.
ABC's Alex Stone. The Senate Intelligence Committee briefed this morning on Syria's alleged use of chemical weapons. California Democrat Dianne Feinstein says she'll vote yes on a military strike.
Based on what I have learned, I have no doubt that the regime used nerve agents.
The situation in Syria added to the evening agenda of the G20 summit in Russia. President Obama is there. We now know what started that huge wildfire burning in and near California's Yosemite National Park. Fire investigators say it was sparked by a hunter who allowed an illegal fire to escape. Fire bans have been in place since most of that state is so dry. In broiling hot San Diego, meanwhile, police warning residents to keep an eye on their
Hey, Mike, you there?
Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. Mark Manji's in the studio with me. I'm Tracy Winbush, and
I just found the song.
You found
the
song?
I'm so excited. I'm downloading it now. That's a really.
You like that, huh?
I like that. That's a good song. Wow. I'm just here grooving. You need some groove beverages here, which are doing this music.
Water. Water.
Mark,
this is an old classic, and you'd have to get some of the old guys to tell you about it. But I know my uncle used to listen to it when I was a kid. I just can't believe you didn't know it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I don't know. Well, my mother, she used to call me a sabatut. That's Italian for know-it-all, which is where I got my.
Mark knows it all.
I blame it on my mother.
Local call, your mic is on.
Hi, it's Deanna. How are you?
Good. How are you, Deanna?
Very good, darling. I just called the representative offices. I called our senator and our congressman.
Okay.
And I was just thinking I would use this opportunity to encourage everyone to make a call.
What do you want to say? What do you want them to tell when they call?
I want them to call and say that we should not intervene in this conflict, that we do not have an interest in this. We can't say that we are defending our country. I don't know how they can say this is a matter of national security. That's really stretching it. I think we've already had Russia tell us what they will do if we respond, and we don't have our longtime ally, Great Britain, going with us. We can't really even find any strong country that would go with us. There's so many warning lights flashing here, Tracy. I don't know why we're pursuing this.
Because there's a lot. I'm telling you guys, I feel this in my gut. There's a fly in the buttermilk.
Tracy, you gotta give us a hint. Don't you have any inkling at all of what you think is the motivator?
Listen, there's a fly in the buttermilk, and this fly, he has flagellants, and it stinks.
And he's an Olympic swimmer, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And
he's not going down.
No, and he won't go down. And it is bigger than it has absolutely nothing to do with these weapons. When you look at, they're looking at 75,000 troops would have to go in.
Mm-hmm. They're not talking about that on the television.
I thought we were talking about we were doing. I want to see what we got. Drones. So you take a little gnat, the little fly that's in the buttermilk. You take a little gnat. You put a little dart on his head, and you zap him, and then you fly out, and it's over with. I don't understand this 75,000 troops, which means people, lives, heartbeats. See, there's more. I'm sorry. Jeff brought it up, and I will not take credit for all of this thought. But, and you know, Jeff and I don't agree on a lot. But when Jeff brings up this thing and he tells me, there's been the Sudan, mm-hmm. there's been Uganda. There has been so many other things that have happened in this world that America has really never put their little pinky in. We almost had to break over backwards for apartheid in South Africa. So you mean to tell me we're willing to put our whole future on the line for a little tiny country called Syria and 1,400 people?
Well, this is it. Every life is precious.
No, it's not in America.
Well, I was going to say, we could go everywhere.
We kill babies every day. Life is not precious in America. What are you talking about?
No, I am saying every life is precious. And what we have conveniently addressed are those issues that have some special interest for us. And I agree with you. There's something very deep here. But I have an oppressive feeling in me, Tracy, that I've never had before, and I really feel that this is this could be
the end,
leading to the doom.
I don't think this is leading to the doom. I think this is leading to a massive wake up.
What happens if the you don't know what Iran has? You know, you look at the bad guys in play here: North Korea, Iran, the Al Qaeda. You don't know where these nuclear weapons are floating around. You don't know. You put one on a bomb and sail it into a harbor and blow it up and kill a million people.
Hold
on, Diana. Just a second. Go to South Carolina.
Yeah, they talk about the shot heard around the world, but I'm going to tell you, if this thing goes off and it goes bad, which I got a sneaky suspicion it will. This will be the shot or the catalyst to wake up middle-class America and all those folks that have been sitting back saying, oh, I'm not worried about it. It's not affecting me.
Maybe this is what we need to get people out of, because right now people need to wake up out of la-la land and find out America. They need Americans.
But I don't think we're prepared for what comes next.
We're not.
This has totally been, when you think about every one of these call them conflicts, I think it's war. But you think every time we've intervened, we've gotten into something that we had not anticipated. We did not have the foresight to see what would come. We thought, oh, well, we'll take a limited, posture in this. We are in control. We're not in control. We can do this limited strike. But we have no thought about what it will provoke.
You know,
if they put innocent people in the way of these strikes, because we've told so much about what we want to do, that they could very easily put innocent people in these areas, and then we harm them, and then we're seen as aggressors. war criminals, whatever. We're just not thinking the thing out.
Mark, you said that you were a understudy in foreign policy.
Yes.
So maybe you could answer this question for me.
Okay.
You know, when I was younger, we used to have a little board game called
Strategy.
Yeah, strategy or
Worship.
Worship something.
Yeah.
No, but it was a battleship. Battleship.
Yeah.
Battleship.
And
we're having senior moments here.
Right. And
together we'll find the answer.
Sounds like my dinner table at night.
And when I would win your ship, I owned it. You know, that's how it works. If I got your ship, it was mine.
Yes.
I controlled it. I did what I wanted with
yes.
it. Can you tell me why when we go to war now, I can break it, but I buy it, but I don't own it?
If you figure it out, let me know. This has been a problem with the United States since the end of World War II. We've never really understood the power we've never exercised our power in a way a country should exercise its power. How many times have we fought for Iraq? We fought for it twice. Now we'll probably end up fighting for it a third time. You know, we're in Afghanistan now. He wants to pull out. You know, you can't keep fighting for the same real estate over and over and over again. We went into Iraq. We got rid of the bad guy. We should have set up a government. We should have stayed there. Take the oil, but pay us back for liberating these people. Then if you want to start to pull out, pull out. These people can't function by themselves.
But
there is no functioning democracy. They're going there and win the spoils of war.
Right. Now, my issue is, why isn't that – it's not like the 51st state?
No.
We go to the moon and we put a flag on it. We go to Iraq and we put a rock on it. I don't understand.
Somehow we have gotten the idea, since World War II, that winning is bad. Now, we didn't do that, you know, at the end of World War II. We're still in Japan and we're still in Germany.
No, we're still in Japan and Germany. We just have a site there, but we don't own that land there. I mean, my question is, if I come over and take over your house, Mark,
yes,
guess what? Your house is mine.
I just charged you rent, Tracy. You're
That's what
Tracy.
I mean.
Tracy?
Yes, sir?
You're forgetting he who controls the language controls the conversation. And we're being told that Israel is occupying Palestine when they won that land fair and square in a war that they were attacked under. They were the ones that were attacked. They were not the aggressors. And they're being and the world is demanding they leave land that they won fair and square in a war.
So what? That's what I'm saying. Okay, Alex, I hear you trying to weigh in.
Yeah, I think what you have to consider is the international courts. Was it the Geneva Convention? I mean, when it comes to human rights, because that's the reason why you can't just go in and take somebody's land. And say, it was mine now, you lost because of the human rights violations. And that's predominantly the, from my understanding, the argument against Israel is that they violated the Palestinians' human rights because, they won the war, but then after that they just said, you know what, we're going to take some of this land too. And, by the way, get off of it. So... that's really the problem with Israel. It's the human rights violations, and that's why you can't. I believe since the Geneva Convention that's been pretty much the standard or a rule of engagement.
Then why am I okay? I'll let you buy that. Okay, so if we go in on human rights violations, we can't go over there and take the land. So why am I going to fight for your human rights? It's not my rights that I'm fighting for. So why am I fighting for yours? So I'm going to take 78,000 people, 77,000 people. And they killed 14. I'm going to take 77,000 to fight for your 14, but when I walk away, if I break it, I bought it, I got to fix it, but I don't own it.
Tracy, the other night I was listening to the French news on PBS 45.3. They have Al Jazeera. They have news from all over the world, Japan. this professor was very articulate, and what she was saying is that if we go in as the and make this aggressive move, we are invading sovereign territory, and we could be charged in the international legal courts with an act of aggression. And you stop and think, we do have the United Nations, we have world groups. Right now they're gathering at some world summit in
the G20.
Right.
Right.
So you've got all these opportunities for leaders to come together and problem solve and discuss. But if the world is not in agreement that an atrocity is being committed, how can we act independently?
Because this is not why we're going. I keep on telling y'all they got to fly in the buttermilk. I'm telling y'all.
I agree with you, they lying
to us. There ain't no way that everybody's saying, no, stay away, and America's saying, we got to go. I'm confused by that. America has an agenda. America has bad policy. We lie a lot.
You could see that there's an agenda.
America is taking a laxative, and they just like they got to go to the bathroom now, huh?
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling y'all something wrong. It just not. This ain't no cut and dry. Or we care about the people and we're gonna go save them. No, they're telling a lie. There's something wrong here. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's like America's becoming. You know, you ever had people walk up to you and that don't usually speak to you, and they really start talking nice to you, like, hi, how are you, and how's your day today? And you ask them, what do you want?
Right, you're suspect right away.
So now my question is, something is wrong. I'm sorry. I mean, nobody's going with you. America, even you're over at the G20 summit. They get slapping you all over the place. They don't respect you anywhere.
Exactly.
And we're talking about, we're going to go save the people.
Well, Tracy.
To clarify something. The Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood comprise this rebel group, correct?
They're different sects. Mark, you might want to speak to this a little bit more, but they're different sects of people. Now, they have the same philosophies of religion, but they don't all walk in lockstep. They have their own factions.
With what, the Muslims?
Yeah,
they're Sunnis and Shiites.
But they're Muslims and the Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood.
Okay, and they have avowed that
everyone faces
they're all our enemies.
And we are going in to assist them in being strengthened. And I don't understand that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling y'all they got buttermilk bad.
Well, Tracy, maybe this projected how much these premiums are going to cost is the reason why he wants to go in there so badly. Because it just came out on yesterday, and looking at this thing, if you're 21 years old, your premium is going to be about $270 a month. If you're 40 years old, it's going to be $330 a month. And if you're 60 years old, it's $615 a month per individual.
But that's, that's a bad. If you go, you don't go to war because you get ready to kill people in the operating room.
Yes, you do. You do.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Tracy, I'm telling you, this is all about the American dollar. I mean, the Syria. If you look at the countries that we invade, just the ones that stop using the dollar, and Afghanistan was one, Iraq was another, and Syria is another. This is all about the dollar. A lot has happened since 2008. I mean, which is why they had to get rid of Gaddafi, because he was appointed the head of the African Union, and he said that he was going to create the United States of Africa and move Africa to its own gold-backed currency. And so they killed him. It's the same thing in Syria. I mean, the Arab League has agreed to stop using the American dollar for the exchange of oil. But, basically kill the petrodollar. And I believe that that's what this is all about. It's about the dollar, but they can't openly come out and say it.
Well, every time we get involved in one of these battles, we're depleted economically. This could be the way that our enemies are seeking to destroy us financially, bankrupt us, and also create such a division in our populace about what side you support. This just, you know, the big thing could be, let's just take down the superpower. We don't know who's behind this. It could be somebody whose name is George Soros. We don't know.
So why is it that the media won't tell it? Why is it that the conversation is not out there? I mean, you're hearing all these fluff pieces, and Alex, I agree with you. I believe it has a lot to do with money.
That's my number one rule. If it doesn't add up, look for the money.
But my question is, when do we start saying what it really is and start telling and letting the American people hear the truth and having this conversation and this dialogue?
Well, our media is no longer owned by people who wanted to be credible reporters of information.
I found an article I was looking for, Tracy. It was in the Financial Times.
Okay.
And it has to do it was reprinted in the Washington Post, and it's the Middle East Explained. And so here we go. And if you've heard it, stop me. Iran is backing Assad. Gulf states are against Assad. Assad is against Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood and Obama are against General Sisi. The Gulf states are pro-Sisi, which means they are against Muslim Brotherhood. Iran is pro-Hamas, but Hamas is backing the Muslim Brotherhood. Obama is backing the Muslim Brotherhood, yet Hamas is against the United States. Gulf states are pro-U.S., but Turkey is with the Gulf states against Assad, yet Turkey is pro-Muslim Brotherhood against General Sisi, and General Sisi is backed by the Gulf states. Welcome to the Middle East, and have a nice day.
Huh?
That, what did you say, South Carolina?
I always said it. Me and my, you know, in that part of the world, it's me and my brother against my cousin. But it's me and my cousin against the world. Okay? And that's how it works. We don't fight that way. We just don't fight that way. We can't understand it. Either way, whatever you do, whoever you smack, you're going to make somebody mad. Period.
And there's a visual on this chart.
Mark, can you put that on your Facebook page?
Yeah, I will.
Put that on your Facebook page so we can actually pull it up and distribute that, because that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a chart with it. It's
it makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Even though, it makes sense to me. That's bad.
Well, Tracy, would you encourage...
Yes, you encourage them. You're on air, live. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I just encourage everyone to contact the representatives in the Senate and in Congress and let them know so that whatever is decided in this, the American people will have declared themselves. I think that is our right and our responsibility and a privilege. I pray that we will be able to enjoy for some time to come, but I have apprehension and a... just like an overwhelming feeling that many of the beautiful privileges we've enjoyed in the past are possibly to be lost to us. And so I just encourage people to take this time. This is a very historic moment.
The phone number for, who did you call? You want Ryan?
I called the Youngstown office, which was 740-0193.
Okay. And see if that contact me.
For Tim Ryan's office.
And for
Sherrod Brown, it was 1-888-896-6446.
And for Portman?
I don't have that one written.
Portman's number is 330-51. I'm sorry. Portman's number is 513.
Okay.
684. 3265.
Thank you, Tracy.
And Bill Johnson, give me 1 minute and I'll pull that up.
I knew you would know these. I called all around. I called the Board of Elections. I called different places, and I thought I knew you would have it.
Hold on. I'll get Bill Johnson's number. The number down in, I'll give you the number down in Marietta, in Salem. The number is 330-337-6951.
Okay. And I, our friends that are listening in other states, I encourage them as well. I think everybody has to call. You know, please look up, if you can't find it in your phone book, if you call your public library, the reference desk, I'm sure that they would look those numbers up for you. Or if you're proficient on the internet, you could email. But I really feel that this is an opportunity for America to speak, and we can't remain silent.
My senator already voted against it, Marco Rubio.
He's against it?
Yeah, he just came out against it last night. Yeah.
Oh, he did in committee? What was his stand on it, Alice?
He didn't. He just didn't think that it was gonna. It had the consequences of it. He didn't believe that it would necessarily have a good outcome. I mean, because it's just kind of messy, you know. If you go in and bomb them, then what, you know? So. I think his stance is pretty much, you know, that's not really, it's just not really thought out very well, you know. So, and I tend to agree with him.
That America's interests were threatened. That we were not in a position to say that our national security was threatened.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Want to hear from you today. Mark Mangy's in studio with me today, and he knows it all. If you don't know it, ask him. And Jeff knows everything, and I'm just here just trying to,
we
got to
get Jeff and me together here.
Oh, that would be bad. We'll be right back.
Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795.
That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
The Cumulus Health Club and Dr. Larry Dinopoulos want to ask you some questions.
Does your partner keep you up at night with their snoring? Do you have trouble sleeping? Do you feel drowsy during the day? Maybe a mandibular repositioning appliance is your answer for sleep apnea and snoring. Sleep apnea is caused when your throat collapses while you're asleep, blocking your airway. Snoring occurs when the airflow from your nose or mouth to your lungs makes the tissues of your airway vibrate. Dr. Dinopoulos may be able to help you sleep better with a mandibular repositioning appliance. You wear it while you're sleeping, and it repositions your lower jaw and tongue in such a way that air can flow more freely. Wearing this appliance can manage sleep apnea and help reduce, if not eliminate, snoring, which leads to a quieter and more restful night's sleep.
This health tip has been brought to you by Dr. Larry Dinopoulos, General Dentistry and Sleep Appliance Therapy, since 1988 on Main Street in Poland. Call 330-757-1722.
Everybody loves a discount. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Know this song. But you don't.
I didn't know the other one.
You've been deprived.
I know. You know, it's just I had a rough upbringing and oh, this is a nice one. I like this one.
And you know this one?
Yes.
Didn't you look at the B-side?
Yeah, I never looked at the B-side. Go back to it.
No, you got to go back to the B side. You were supposed to go to the B side. The number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. Do you remember this one?
Yes. But I'm, you know, this is the highlight of my day.
You know this one.
Yes.
But you don't know the war is a
no.
ghetto. He really gets into this. You guys ought to see his face. He's like some kid lighting up.
Oh, and this is the highlight of my day. I had such a crummy day today. I had every wackadoodle calling me up on the phone today. I hope they're not listening.
They're listening.
And if they were, one of them in particular, he doesn't have to call me again because he definitely is a little bit off. Love them to death.
They're not.
Oh, my God.
He's talking about me.
Including my family, and I know they're not listening down in another part
of
the
country. Because I called them and told them Mark's on listening and talking about you. Don't forget about Mount Calvary. It's the 13th, 14th, and 15th of next week. They want you to come out to Calvary Ministries. You've been listening to Tracy and Mark and I. I have multiple personalities today. So Tracy, Mark, and I have been here sitting in the studio all day long here with Tracy and friends. And Jeff was supposed to call in, and I guess he's talking about, oh, it's 2:30 already. I didn't know what was going on. You know what? That's what I thought.
Hello?
Alex is there. Alabama's on the line. The mics are on. Local, call. Your mic is up.
Am I muted?
No, you're not muted. Alabama?
Oh, okay. I ain't know y'all. Y'all just act like y'all ain't hear me.
That's because I was sitting there running my mouth. Don't say nothing.
Well, yeah, I wanted to. I was wondering if you guys heard. I just found this out. George Washington wrote in some memoirs about the evils of the New World Order and the central bank. And he was just saying how bad it was, how it wasn't a good idea, how what they want to do. And it's rarely talked about. But I just found this out yesterday. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No, I have not heard about George Washington, but I know everybody's mad at the central bank. But the central bank
Illuminati, yeah, it was George Washington. We know they tried to kill Johnson. What was his name? Andrew Jackson, I mean. They tried to kill him. Yeah, they fought hard and long. They didn't want us to have a central bank. That's what they were getting away from. It's kind of like right now, if America collapses, and or we go over to, let's say we find another place to go, and we try to get rid of this, and we set up in stone, we don't want a central bank. That's what's going on, because they knew what was going on, and so they got away from the Rothschilds over there, and they got over here, and then they still finagled their way back in some years later. But that's what's going on, and primarily what we're talking about with Syria is really them hijacking us, using us as a military, as their own military, personal military, to do what they want to do with other countries that want to break away and have their own freedom and don't want to deal with and rest under the arm of the West. And that's just what it is. And we as a people, we're just kind of sitting ducks. We funded this whole thing. We're funding their pockets in a nutshell.
So why is it that America can do what they want to do, but got to tend to everybody else's business when they want to do what they want to do?
Well, because what they're doing is they're going secretly and covertly doing things to position themselves to be benefited financially, just like BP and you know, a lot of those companies which are connected with the NWO New World Order too. And when Iran didn't do what they were supposed to do, we sacked them in '53. Kermit Roosevelt and all these guys, they come in and they pioneered this whole idea of economic hitmen coming in, getting somebody indebted to you. Once they're indebted, then here you come pumping the oil out of them and raising the interest so high that they'll never pay it off. That's what this is about. I mean, we're not – the policing of the world is just a facade that they give us. That's never the reason. It's never the reason because, I mean, coincidentally, we kill 1,400 black babies a day in America.
So what?
So it's yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's inconsistent. And just like this whole thing about terrorism, I mean, they let the terrorists go that killed the people in the Lockerbie bombing for 44 billion barrels of oil with Libya. So these guys are a bunch of hypocrites, all of them. And I'm just upset with the Republicans because I thought that they were going to hold a line, but I mean, hey, sometimes I drift back into my old way of thinking, but I had to let that go. I mean, these guys are all on the same thing.
I mean, do you think the Republicans? Mark doesn't think it's going to pass.
I don't think it's going to pass.
And Mark won't be here before they vote.
I'll call in.
You'll call in. Okay, I'll hold you to that. I'll come in, call in. But you know, I think I don't know if it'll pass or not.
The public doesn't want it, and these guys are up re-election next year.
Oh,
it's not going to pass.
Oh. Is he going to go anyhow?
Yeah. Do I think he's going to go without? No, I don't think he will. He's looking for cover, and we've given it to him.
You know, I think this will be the first time ever that a president will not have gotten permission to strike.
They never asked. We haven't asked.
Local call, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yes.
You know, I was laughing the whole way coming home listening to your program. Who made that statement about when the Jews won the war that they bought that land is theirs? Where did they get the land originally? Where was Israel, so-called Israel, in 1946? Hello?
Yeah,
where was Israel in 1946? Could you tell me?
Israel was scattered all over the nation. It was in Russia.
They're coming out of the Nazi concentration camps.
No. Listen, when the United States and England went in there under Rothschild, and he went in there and he killed all his Palestinians and drove them off their farms and tore up their orchards like they did, that's when Israel existed. Other than that, they never existed before.
What do you mean Israel never existed before?
It never existed before. You better get back and learn your history. Where was Israel in 1917?
Where was Palestine in 1917?
Right there. Right
that
there.
It was never
under
a country.
British
it
rule.
Was never. It was never a country.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Palestine was never a country.
Wasn't a country.
You better get back and learn your history too. You better get back and learn your history. What happened in 1946 with the United States and England with Rothschild over there? Huh?
They,
what the heck happened? What did the Exodus take place? How many ships are floating around? They're supposed to go to Madagascar. Where did they go?
Yeah.
Where did they go? Tell me where they went. Are you going to tell me those Palestinian people aren't going to be mad at us? I mean, I'm laughing at you people the whole way coming home. I says, I can't believe it. You must have went to Youngstown School or something.
Whoa.
That's me.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right. I was a teacher in Youngstown Schools. I know what the hell was going on.
Oh, I'm glad I wasn't
in
your class.
Okay.
let me carry on my
all right, go ahead.
When are you going to wake up to find out the tail of the dog is wagging us? When are you going to wake up? Netanyahu's been over here how many times? He first wanted us to go into Iran. We didn't do it. He wanted us to go in Iraq. We wouldn't do it. He was calling. He's still calling all our shots. He still is calling our shots. I don't know where in the heck you're getting your crap at. You better sit down and really look and do some reading and some research of what you're talking about, because you definitely don't know what you're talking about. You don't. I'm awful sorry.
Okay. I'm not going to fight with you today.
I'll tell you what, this stuff has been going on since 1948 over there.
It was before then.
It's not going to stop. No, it wasn't.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. There were people lived in that country in unison. There were Jewish people living there. There was Catholics. There were all kind of religious people living there. It never took place, what you're talking about, until the United States and England did.
Until 1948 when they gave Israel a state. Until Israel became a state in 1948.
That's right. But you remember the Exodus? Tell me what you know about the Exodus. What happened?
That's when Egypt came out of. That's when Israel came out of Egypt, right?
No, you're definitely wrong. This is when the Jewish people wanted to get out of Europe, and they were all over Russia and all over Europe. And they wanted to get out, and that's why they get on the Exodus. They came from Europe. They didn't come from Egypt. They came from Europe.
And they were given the land over in Palestine, right?
That's what we did to him. And you know, I'll tell you something else really got me. You guys are talking about George Bush. What a fabulous man. George Bush, number one, was talking about an Iraq. We were going into Iraq, and we were filling these little baby beds out of hospitals and bringing them over someplace else. And these soldiers were getting these babies and throwing them up the air and spearing them with their stuff. With the knives on their rifles. I remember that plea in front of Congress, you know, what was going on. I mean, that was a joke. Then George Bush, too? Oh, my God. I had a laugh on him. It was a big joke. When are you going to wake up? Oh, my God. Are you people ready for sure there?
Are you saying that, you know, Israel should be...
He's saying that we ought to kick Israel out and put it back to where it was.
Put them in Madagascar. Do you know how much money we give them? What, was it $14,000 every man, woman, and child in Israel? Is that what we get? We can't even help our own people in this country here, but we can do those people. Stay the heck out of the rest of the darn world. Let's take care of ourselves. I don't care if those people starve to death. The only thing we're doing, we give them money that they're building these buildings over there. And forcing the Palestinians out and causing more problems because of us. We're going to have trouble there for the rest of our lives but we don't change. We cannot change what's going on. This has been going on since the 40s. So I wish they would taught history the right way in school, but they told you what to teach and what not to teach. And so you go to college. When you go to college, that's when you get it. And I tell you what, I went to Youngstown State for a couple years. I transferred to Kent State. And you want to know something? Kent State did not accept 70 my credit
hours. That's too far. Hey, hold on. I got another call to pick up. Larry, your mic is on.
You had your call. Hey. I tell you, I'm ready to puke listening to this stuff. You have a good day.
You too.
Hey.
Yeah, Larry.
Tracy, some drink from the fountain of knowledge and others gargle. I think that last caller was gargling. But I agree with Mark. I don't see it passing through the House. It may squeak through the Senate just because there's more power there, but it's going right now. The whip had the vote, and they put it up on Drudge. It was 4-1 against authorizing any use of force there. So, you know, just it made it out of the Senate committee. I think the vote was 10-7 with one guy abstaining, and I think there was two Republicans that voted for yes to authorize it. But that's just in the committee.
So you think it's going down too?
Yeah, there's no appetite for it, especially the congressmen. Now the senators, they can do what they want because they get 6 years. But these congressmen that got to answer to the voters every 2 years, I don't see that. And the public is not behind it, Tracy. I mean, I haven't seen one poll yet that shows people for it.
There's not one.
Yeah, and it's overwhelming. It's not like 55-45. It's in the high 60s, 70s. And it seems to me the only ones that are for authorization are like that Democratic congresswoman from the District of Columbia. She's just doing it out of loyalty to the president, not for her constituents.
Alex?
It's me.
Hey. Oh,
hey.
Hey, Jeff. Oh.
Let me say something. First of all, Mark was absolutely right. There was no international recognition of that area as a country at all before. Go to my ear, and I'm trying to think of the other person that argued for them to be Ben-Gurion. And his successors all argued that the land should belong to them because of they had historical right to the land. Because, of course, you know, they won the land years and years ago, centuries ago, when they came into the land and destroyed all the inhabitants of the land and took the land. Now, they had proof, and that's why the United Nations overwhelmingly made them a state in 1948, which went back to the biblical prophecy. You remember that. Shall a nation give forth in a day, and shall a child be conceived and born in an hour. And so, sure enough, Israel came to be. This is one way or another, he has to hit here, unless he's making some huge deals and kissing Putin's behind on the left side, right side, and the middle, so that he doesn't have to attack Bashar al-Assad. He doesn't want to do this, but he's also playing politics for the midterms. And the Republicans need to be wary of that. But you're going to see this go down the lines of progressive Democrats, progressive Republicans are going to vote for it. And those that aren't, you'll be able to see who they aren't because they're not going to go for this. This is craziness as far as natural.
So you think it's going to go down?
Yeah, I think it's going to go down, but he has to hit anyway. He doesn't have a choice. But here's the one thing
I
add. Go ahead.
So you think he's going to go on his own?
He has to.
Mark?
The globalists aren't going to let him not do it.
I think
they're going to create an incident that'll make it where we have to.
I don't think he will. I think he'll hide behind the Congress and say, well, I tried, and, you know, they didn't want it, and it's their fault,
But hold on, but this is big. Remember, I think I'm going back. This is bigger than just, you know, we killed 1,400 people. We're gonna send 77,000 people because they killed 14.
Right.
It's bigger than that.
It's way bigger. I'm telling you, it's about the petrodollar. If you can get Mark to read what I left in the chat room there, it's about the petrodollar. It's not about 1,400 people getting gas that we know now was not nerve gas. Fluoride.
I told y'all what it was. I told y'all that the other day. I told you they put some ammonia, and somebody came by and put some Clorox on top. I told y'all what would happen. No one listening to me.
Almost that bad, Trace. Almost. But look at what's going on. People aren't aware of these things because they don't get into world politics. And they don't study history. The last gentleman, he just wanted to complain. He has no idea. George Bush almost had the balance of power done in the Middle East. Almost had it done.
He said he was a teacher in Youngstown City Schools. You know, that's a problem.
Well, tell him I graduated from Youngstown City Schools. Please call me back when I'm there tomorrow, and we'll discuss it further.
No.
I'm saying he had nothing to say. He knows a little bit, but he knows it from whatever influence he wants to have on it. I don't care about either side of our political structure like that. You know, I am what I am, but do I think that they're the answer to all our questions? Either side, no. We have to be a country. I don't think the Republicans are an answer. I don't think the Democrats are.
But I'm saying we're not a country right now.
No,
I don't know what this is we have, but whatever it is, right? We don't have a country.
You have an uncivil war going on. That's what you have, and on the both sides of the political spectrum, they're playing these games. Obama is playing with the lives of our military for the sake of politics. He's got them sitting over there at so many million a day, $24 million a day, sitting over there in the Middle East doing nothing. If they start launching missiles, it's going to be $83 million a day. And so you have to understand, he doesn't care. He is an elitist. He's not waiting for the people. He's not trying to stop Bashar al-Assad from using these weapons. And for Russia to be able to come straight out, I have never seen another national leader in all my life, okay, call our Secretary of State a liar in the press on national TV.
I mean, he just punked him.
He called him a liar. He said he's lying. I don't know why. He knows who these people are. He's lying. So that's to tell
that.
You have a very incompetent group in D.C. running things.
They don't respect us. There's no respect for them. I mean, there's no respect right now. I mean, they punked the president yesterday. And I said this yesterday. I said this. When you punk the president, you punk the country.
Pretty much.
I can talk about my baby, but you can't.
Right after he said, I'll be more flexible after the election, Putin said, I'm going to step in your behind, because just like Ahmadinejad said, you're a weak man. And they are trailing him through, you know, he's acting the big part because he knows what he has and what he doesn't have. But he better be sure who his people are, because otherwise something could really bad happen, and I don't want to see that happen. This is crazy. This is the most incompetent people I've ever seen in office or ever read about in history being in office. That's what's so terrible about this.
I was just kind of looking here at the history of Palestine to make sure that I wasn't wrong. I don't know what that guy that called in was talking about.
He was defined
as a region. It was known as Israel. It was known as Canaan, southern Syria, Jerusalem. It's never been autonomous. It's been controlled by, and I'm going to go down this list, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Israelites, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Byzantines, the Sunni Arab Caliphate, the Shia Fatimid Caliphate, the Crusaders, the Mamelukes, the Ottomans, the British, and modern Israel. That's who's controlled that region over there. The Palestinians were there. I'm trying to remember what I read, but it appears to me that Jordan is, if you're going to look for a Palestinian country, it would be Jordan. And Jordan's made up primarily of Palestinian, but it never has been a country in our understanding of the word.
Absolutely correct.
That's not entirely accurate. Your list isn't comprehensive because Palestine used to be a part of the Ottoman Empire. And after that was broken up, it became a British protectorate, which is, Britain created those lines for the most part of all those Middle Eastern countries. But that whole area used to be the Ottoman Empire, and they broke it up and drew arbitrary lines. So they were a part of a greater nation, a mostly Arabic nation. It was part of the Ottoman Empire before.
It was a tribal. I mean, it almost was like the tribal area. I've never heard of the king of Palestine or a president of Palestine. There's never been a country or a Palestinian army. It's always been part of something else. It's been shuffled around between all these organizations. You know, it's never had its own.
We're gonna have the conversation one day. but it's a conversation for another day, and because it has it's
kind of interesting.
It's very, very interesting, but you have to know the biblical aspect behind it. And when you bring biblical history behind it, you get a very great conflict of different views, which causes for great, great conversation, but great, great contention. Hey, listen, we're at the end of the day. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We'll see you guys tomorrow. This
Bye, guys.
Night. Love you. Have a good day, and we'll see you then.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with